Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents One Kiss Alone by Nicole Van, narrated by Mari Morrison. Prologue. A mountain road north of Venice, Italy, August 1846. The lady was hauntingly beautiful. Ethan Penleith hated the mundanity of the thought, the uninspired diction, the lack of poetic creativity. However, the loveliness of the woman before him scattered his wits so thoroughly it took all his willpower not to stare in slack-jawed stupor. He felt stunned. So stunned, in fact, that the flimsy sentence appeased him with its accuracy. The lady sat opposite him in the jolting hired coach. A gauzy black veil consigned her eyes to glittering shadows, leaving only a pert nose, the elegant slash of a jaw, and the lush pout of her red lips visible. The severe cut of her gown revealed an enticingly curved figure, the sort designed to draw a man's attention. A fairy tale bound in tight-cut silk. The line of poetry flitted through his mind. Aye, the lady was that and more. Her presence in a hired carriage on a perilous mountain road implied she possessed courage and pluck. The maid at her side indicated she was a noblewoman of some means. The unrelenting black of her clothing suggested she was in mourning. Was it too cruel to hope the deceased had been her husband? Heaven should strike Ethan down for such a thought. And yet? The carriage rocked over the rugged roadway, jostling his shoulder into a rotund man of business who sat sleeping beside him. The man snorted and half opened his eyes before drifting off once more, head tilted back against the squabs. Opposite, the beautiful lady demurely lowered her head. What colour were the eyes hidden beneath her veil? Ethan's poetic soul thrived on details, and he detested that this wee one eluded him. "Ye are still staring, ye idiot." "Right." Ethan tugged a pencil and leather-bound notebook from his coat pocket, hoping to distract his thoughts by cataloguing impressions. Briefly, he wondered how his older brother, Malcolm, might describe the scene. No doubt, Malcolm would say something deeply philosophical about the fleeting nature of external beauty and the importance of inner virtue. However, 2 years ago, Ethan had stopped looking to Malcolm for inspiration, vowing to rely on his own thoughts alone. To that end, Ethan imagined recounting his current situation before a blazing fire in the taproom of the Lion Arms in his home village of Fettermill, Scotland. "I was in Italy, riding in a vetturini. Imagine it like a yellow bounder, an Italian post-chaise. Only in Italy, you can share a post-chaise with strangers. The coachman, the vetturino, sees to everything for the passengers, arranging the coach, horses, lodging and food. 'Tis more comfortable and safe than a diligenza, the public stagecoach. I had been travelling in the vetturini alongside a man of business from Padua when we stopped in Belluno, a wee village surrounded by granite peaks. Travellers fear bandits in the high alpine passes, but I had come prepared. While in Belluno, a bonny lady and her maid joined us. The lady was exquisite. Imagine a Renaissance Madonna without a gilded halo. No, that wasn't quite right. Perhaps she was a Mediterranean siren, akin to the one Odysseus faced as he... 'You appear to be a devotee of la penna, signore.' A contralto voice in heavily accented English halted Ethan's pencil with an audible scritch. He raised his head and sucked in a startled breath. The lady had lifted her veil. Grey eyes framed by velvety long lashes met his gaze. Aye, stunned, stupid. Those were literally the only words that Ethan Penleith could string together. It felt nearly cliché that he, a poet the London Times had recently heralded as a writer of endless invention, should be robbed of adjectives by a pretty face. And yet, he sat up straighter, mentally reaching for that roguish part of himself, the one that had charmed bullies at Eton and made friends of enemies at Oxford. And then, Ethan smiled. The very smile Malcolm dubbed the swooner, as it had a tendency to cause ladies to faint when deployed. For the record, Malcolm was not wrong. This lovely Italian lady did not swoon, more's the pity. She did, however, blink twice. So perhaps she was not entirely unmoved. That slight tick bolstered Ethan's confidence. What had she asked him? Oh, right. My pen, he replied. I do feel compelled to write when I am inspired, madam. A beautiful vista often does the trick. Ah. The lady leaned forward to peer out the window. The movement pulled her bodice tighter against her torso and sent a heady breeze of exotic perfume wafting over him. Jasmine, perhaps, with undertones of ambergris and rose. Ethan breathed in deeply. The lady's dress was well made, but with its puffed sleeves and rounded waistline, the garment was decidedly 5 years out of fashion. Had she dyed an older dress black for mourning? Unruffled by Ethan's gaze, she merely studied the soaring mountains surrounding them. They had finally reached the beginning of the Dolomiti, the craggy granite mountains that stretched for hundreds of miles within the kingdom of Lombardy, Venice, and the Austrian Empire. The rugged terrain rendered the region a bit of a no-man's land, an endless expanse of peaks and valleys that hid charming alpine villages and enterprising bandits in equal numbers. Should adventure find him, Ethan had come equipped. A Belgian pin revolver rested in the satchel at his feet, a gift from his brother-in-law, Captain Fox Carnegie. Engraved with Ethan's name, the gun was the latest in modern weaponry, able to fire off 6 rounds in rapid succession. In looking at the elegant lady across from him, he had to wonder, why had she braved the danger of the Dolomites? "I have always adored the mountains of the Sud Tirol," she said, as if responding to his unasked question. The husky timbre of her voice abraded Ethan's skin, causing all the fine hairs to stand at attention. "The view is remarkably inspiring." "I agree," he grinned, "but that vista is not what inspires me at the moment." The lady tilted her eyes back to his in surprise. Ethan allowed the warmth of his gaze, a brief up-down glance, and a flash of the swooner to communicate his meaning. Instead of blushing or lowering her head, the lady merely raised an eyebrow. "Bravo. Cleverly done, sir." "Thank you." Beautiful and a quick flirt. Ethan was in love. She returned his frank appraisal with one of her own, eyes casually skimming his person. Lips, chest, thighs. Heaven help his heart. It thundered beneath his sternum like a highland waterfall after a summer storm. "Your English is excellent," he continued. "As is yours," she replied sardonically, ignoring his implied question as to how she knew English. "Though I cannot quite place your accent." "I am a Scot, madam." "Ah." A pause. Her lady's maid joined the businessman in snoring. The lady spared a sideways glance for her servant and then brought her cool grey eyes back to his. Something about the movement struck Ethan as bizarrely familiar, as if he had been on the receiving end of her gaze before. Surely that was impossible. He would never forget this woman's face. His sense of recognition had come from fate, that he and this unknown lady were intended to meet one another. Perhaps they had been born under the same predestined star. Och, that was rather good. He penciled the romantic thought in his notes. "And yourself, madam?" He lifted his eyes from his notebook. "From whence do you hail?"
"Venezia."
"La Serenissima." He stated Venice's nickname, the most serene. "And your husband?"
"Morto, I am afraid."
If she found her husband's death a trial, her tone did not convey it. "Ah, you have my condolences." Ethan's intonation implied the opposite of his words. Her answering faint smile said she did not miss his meaning.
"What is your destiny?" he began.
"You are a writer, then?" she interrupted, nodding toward his notebook.
"Si, un poeta," he replied.
His Italian wasn't excellent, but he knew the basics, particularly words that were essentially English with an Italian flourish.
"A poet?"
She spared a glance for his pen.
"That explains much."
Part of Ethan wanted to legitimize his work, to explain that he wasn't merely an aspiring poet or some wealthy nobleman who fancied himself a wit with a pen. No, he was Ethan Penn Leith, the man one reviewer had recently described as the most celebrated poet since Milton. A writer so well known, he could scarcely walk down Bond Street in London without being mobbed by enthusiastic acolytes. But he said nothing. He liked that this unknown Italian woman knew as little of him as he did of her, that his name would likely mean nothing.
"Do you like poetry?" he asked.
"Si, mi piace. But I prefer Dante to your Shakespeare."
"Is that so?"
He raised his eyebrows in a challenge. They spoke of poetry for nearly an hour, arguing over Shakespeare's love of metaphor and Dante's use of meter. This woman. Beautiful, flirtatious, and educated? Bloody hell. Ethan wanted to know every wee thing about her, every detail of her history, her upbringing and parentage, her deceased husband and her life with him, why she was travelling on this dangerous mountain road and where she was headed. Lines of poetry thrummed through his brain. Ruby-soaked lips. A raven of grief rimmed in angelic light. He would pen scores of poems in her honour. She could be Beatrice to his Dante, Laura to his Petrarch. He itched to begin, to immortalise this lady in words. But first...
"And your name, madam?"
he asked when their conversation lulled. "I have been so lost in our conversation, I neglected to perform an introduction." A wee smile touched her lips. Instead of answering, she relaxed back in her seat and removed her gloves, tugging at each finger in turn. Ethan stared in fascination, helpless to look away. Like the rest of her person, her hands were fine-boned and elegantly made. She folded the gloves neatly before tucking them into a pocket in her skirts. From that same pocket, she produced a fan, waving it to cool herself. bright August sun beat upon the roof of the carriage. Had they been travelling through the swamplands inland from Venice, they would have been red-faced and dripping in the humid heat. Thankfully, the climb into the Alps had lowered the outside temperature to more tolerable levels. Still, several beads of perspiration gathered at her temples, damp jewels sparkling in the dim carriage.
Il mio nome?
She repeated in Italian, and then slowly shook her head.
Penso di no. I believe I prefer to remain a mystery.
I see. He heaved a sigh. I fear I shall have to name you myself then. A pause.
Bellissima.
Bellissima? She sniffed. I am more than a pretty face, signore.
Of that I have no doubt, Bella mia.
Bella mia, my beautiful one. You repeat yourself, sir, and show little creativity. Are you sure you are a poet?
She pointed her fan at his notebook.
Or perhaps your ability with the pen fails when challenged?
Ethan mimed picking up and dusting off the gauntlet she had figuratively laid at his feet.
Challenge accepted, la mia sirena.
His actions startled a throaty laugh from her.
A siren? Are we to speak of Homer next? Or do you fear I shall lure you to your death?
Perhaps. He leaned forward, bracing a hand on his knee in the swaying coach and permitting his gaze to drop to her mouth.
But what a sweet death it would be. The lady's grey eyes flashed. She looked at him steadily as she fanned her face.
With a quick grin, Ethan bent to tuck his notebook into the satchel at his feet. When he lifted his head, the lady was in the process of removing her bonnet and veil, revealing a wealth of dark hair coiled atop her head. The maid at her elbow stirred at the movement, before sinking back into slumber.
Fa caldo, no?
The lady set her bonnet and veil in her lap and then fanned herself more vigorously.
Aye, 'tis quite warm today. Is that what I should call you then? Focosa?
Yes. The word suited her. Fiery, spirited.
Are you always so relentless?
She cocked her head.
Pardon? The charming grin, the dashing attire.
She motioned her lovely hand up and down, indicating his tightly cut brown coat over a green silk waistcoat and linen trousers. The endless flirtation. Ethan leaned into the swooner and deepened his brogue.
I have yet to receive any complaints, lass.
She tapped her lips with one long finger.
I struggle to decide if I should commend your dedication or feel appalled on behalf of womankind.
I would be delighted to receive any praise you should like to give me.
The more personal, the better, Mulanin. You are truly incorrigible. No so cosa da... Crack!
The sound of a gunshot split the air. Shouting in rapid-fire Italian immediately followed. The maid woke with a scream. The businessman beside Ethan jerked upright. The coach lurched to a stop, horses whinnying, tackle jangling. Ethan and his fellow travellers swayed with the motion. Another shot cracked through the mayhem.
Banditti,
the businessman hissed. Ethan pulled wide the satchel at his feet and tore out his Belgian pinfire revolver. He met the bellissima lady's wide gaze, her eyes dropping to the gun. Twisting, he hastily tucked the weapon into the waistband at the small of his back, covering it with his coattails. The press of the revolver against his spine promised some hope of protection from whoever was outside. The carriage door opposite flew open. A masked highwayman aimed an old single-shot pistol into the interior of the carriage. Ethan quickly counted five more armed bandits beyond the first man's wiry frame, three standing and two on horseback with rifles trained on the coachman and postillion. Pine trees and granite peaks towered behind them. Ethan catalogued the men's positions and weaponry. They might be highwaymen, but their guns were at least 30 years out of date. None of their weapons would fire more than one shot. That evened the odds a smidgen. The highwayman at the door smiled, his eyes flashing behind the black slits of his mask. The dreamlike quality of the situation washed over Ethan, as if he had abruptly become an actor in a mawkish melodrama. First, travelling through breathtaking mountain scenery. Second, flirting and conversing with the most fascinating lady he had ever met. And third, being accosted and held at gunpoint by armed, masked highwaymen. "The poem I write about this will be epic," he thought. One of the bandits shouted at the coachman and fired another warning shot, quickly reloading his pistol. The weapon might be outdated, but the highwayman packed the powder and shot blindingly fast. "If I survive," Ethan amended. "Please let me survive." He glanced at his lady, the pinch of her mouth, the tense muscles of her cheeks. "And perhaps save the damsel as well." Ethan was, after all, a devout optimist. If he could extricate them, perhaps they could continue their conversation this evening, over a bottle of red wine, alone. The highwayman at the carriage door barked orders in sharp Italian, motioning with his pistol for the passengers to descend. The businessman exited first, but the maid shrank back, blubbering in fear and clutching her mistress's arm. Ethan intervened, placing his body between the highwaymen and the ladies. Clambering out of the coach, he turned and extended a hand to the maid. The terrified girl stumbled down the steps, only to collapse against the rear wheel of the carriage, sobbing hysterically. Ethan's lady, however, was made of sterner stuff. She remained stoic-faced as he reached for her. The weight of her fine-boned hand burned his palm. "Stay behind me," he whispered as her feet hit the ground. She met his gaze with her own tremulous one and nodded, her grey eyes wide, before turning to comfort her maid. "Such a braw lass, his lady." Ethan pivoted to face the robbers, still keeping his body between the highwaymen and the women. Shoulders held high, the revolver a comforting weight against the small of his back. Noting his chivalry with a sneer, the lead bandit rattled something in quick Italian that Ethan did not understand. Ethan lifted his chin in reply anyway. He felt the gentle press of a hand between his shoulder blades. "You will get yourself hurt with such bravery, poet." His lady's low voice reverberated from behind. "Do not be a fool." "I won't be rash," Ethan murmured, keeping his gaze trained on the highwayman. "But I will protect your bonny self." Her soft hand skimmed down his spine, coming to rest at his waistband, the touch igniting goose flesh. Bloody hell. The threat of the highwayman, combined with the delicious touch of the lady's hand, set Ethan's heart to a mad gallop. Had he ever felt so piercingly alive? Every sense was heightened. The sharp definition of white clouds against the summer blue sky, the panicked nickering of horses, the feel of the lady's body pressing closer behind him. Two highwaymen on foot pulled luggage off the back of the coach, rifling through trunks. The businessman protested, only to fall silent when the lead bandit menacingly cocked his pistol. Would the highwaymen be content with robbing them only? Ethan wondered. Or would his lovely lady be a physical target as well? Ethan had meant what he said. He would protect her. The highwaymen with the luggage shouted in triumph, hefting two bags that clanked with coin from the businessmen's trunks. The man wrung his hands in distress. The lady's palm moved slightly at Ethan's waist, as if pleading for protection. "Aye, lass, I'll protect you," he thought. The bandits remained focused on the trunks, gathering to examine the goods. It was now or never. "When I move," Ethan said softly, "I want yourself and your maid to crouch down. Get as low as you can." The lady hummed in agreement and murmured, "Be ready," in quick Italian to her maid. Tensing, Ethan shifted his weight, elbow bending to reach for his revolver. But nimble fingers pulled it from his waistband first and pressed the barrel of the gun against his spine. The revolver cocked, causing Ethan to freeze. What the ever-loving hell? His lady moved from behind him, his own gun pointed at his chest. Her grey eyes snapped with fiery hauteur, a calculating smile on her lips. With a laugh, her maid, miraculously recovered, scampered to join the highwaymen, clearly another player in the plot. The lead bandit swiveled round at the commotion and cackled in delight. "È sempre un piacere averte con noi, signora." "Grazie, Fabrizio," Ethan's beautiful lady replied with a saucy toss of her head, gesturing with his pistol. "I am glad to be here, too." Ethan stared, suspecting he resembled an Atlantic salmon after spawning in the River North Esk, red-skinned, open-mouthed, gasping. Surely he would be reliving this moment with vivid clarity for the rest of his life. The gut punch of surprise. The jolt of shock. His lady had been a plant, a willing ally to the robbery. The plot twist in his unwritten poem he had not seen coming. He couldn't help but chuckle in dumbfounded astonishment. "Well played, la mia piccola ladra, my wee thief." He swept her a lavish bow. Ethan was, as ever, a gentleman to his core. "Bravissima. Even with your back against the wall, you still charm," she replied in her throaty, Italian-accented English. "I fear it is an illness with you." "If it means gazing upon your fair self, lass, then heaven forfend I ever feel well." She smiled at that, but not a true smile. Her grey eyes remained dull, obdurate chips of grey Aberdeen granite against her golden skin. What catastrophe had forced such a fine lady to ally herself with highwaymen? "Was there ever a husband?" Ethan had to ask. His ladra, his thief, laughed. "No, never. I prefer my life unencumbered." She waved his revolver in a circle. "Libera. Free." The leader of the highwaymen, Fabrizio, he supposed, snorted, his gaze narrowing as he looked between Ethan and his wee lady thief. Fabrizio was not unhandsome, Ethan noted. He supposed that some women might find the man's dark curls and Grecian nose appealing. The devil-may-care glint in his eye didn't hurt either. And Fabrizio had spoken to Ethan's ladra with the familiar tu in Italian, the form reserved for close friends, or lovers. Ethan swallowed against the thought. And why, in heaven's name, was he more concerned about Fabrizio's possible romantic involvement with the lovely highwaywoman than the guns currently aimed at his head? The highwaymen made short work of the rest of the belongings. Ethan's trunk was searched, though he carried little of value. Then both he and the businessman were trussed with their hands behind their backs. Ethan stood tall throughout the ordeal.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?